Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a jungle and drum and bass drum bus in Ableton Live 12 using an automation-first workflow. So instead of slapping on a compressor, leaving it alone, and hoping the groove takes care of itself, we're going to make the drum bus perform across the arrangement. That's the big idea here. Indeed, NB, the drum bus is not just glue. It's energy management. It's tension. It's release. It's shape. It's the difference between a loop that just repeats and a drum section that actually evolves like part of a song. Let's start with the setup. First, group your core drum elements into one proper drum bus. That usually means kick, snare or clap, breakbeat chops, hats, rides, percussion, and maybe a top loop or texture layer. Give it a clear name like drum bus so you're not hunting for it later when the automation gets busy. If you're working in jungle, keep your break chops separate enough that you can still treat them like their own character. That gives you more control later, when you want the bus to react differently to the break versus the one-shots. Before you add any fancy processing, clean things up. Trim tails that overlap too much, remove unnecessary low rumble from the non-bass drum layers, and don't overprocess individual tracks if you know the bus is going to do the heavy lifting. A lot of intermediate producers make the mistake of fixing everything track by track, then wonder why the group feels messy. In DNB, the bus is part of the composition. Now let's build a simple, mix-safe chain on the drum bus. A good starting order is utility first, then EQ8, then drum bus, then glue compressor, then saturator or dynamic tube, and maybe the limiter at the end only if you really need safety. Utility comes first so you can control gain, staging, and width. Try to keep some headroom before the heavier processing kicks in. A useful target is around minus 6 dB of peak headroom on the bus, before you start driving it harder. EQ8 is for cleanup. If the break or top layers are carrying sub-rumble, you can high-pass gently around 25 to 35 Hz. If the bus feels boxy, a small dip somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz can help. Don't carve too much yet. We want the bus to still feel alive. Next comes drum bus. This is where you start to add character. Keep the drive modest at first, maybe around 5 to 15%. Leave boom low or off to start. Add just a little transients if the drums need more crack. Then glue compressor after that, with a fairly gentle setting. A 2 to 1 ratio, a slower attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, auto release or about 0.3 seconds, and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction is usually enough. You want glue, not flattened transients. Then saturator or dynamic tube for additional density and edge. Keep it subtle unless the style calls for more aggression. The point is not just to make things louder. The point is to give the drums a more intentional harmonic shape. Now here's where the lesson gets interesting. Before you write more drum variation, decide what you want the drum bus to do in the arrangement. This is automation first thinking. We are not just processing audio, we're designing motion. The main parameters worth automating are drum bus drive, drum bus transients, glue compressor threshold, saturator drive, filter cutoff on an auto filter or EQ-based filter, utility width, and maybe a few send amounts for reverb or delay throws. Think in sections. For the intro, you might keep the bus filtered and narrower. In the pre-drop, open the filter over a few bars. In the drop, bring back the full bandwidth, push the drive a little, and tighten the transient feel. In a fill or switch up, maybe add a touch more distortion and briefly reduce the width. Then in a breakdown, pull the bus back again so the next section hits harder. And a big tip here, small moves often sound more professional than huge obvious ones. A 2 to 6% change in drive can be enough. A width change from 100% down to 70 or 80% can already create tension. You do not need to automate everything like a DJ effect. In DNB, subtle control is often what makes it sound finished. Now let's talk about the actual groove. If this is jungle, your break edits matter just as much as the bus. If it's more roller or neural-leaning DNB, you may have a cleaner kick and snare foundation with more top loop movement. Either way, use groove intentionally. Slice the break if needed, nudge ghost notes slightly behind the grid for pocket, and keep your important snare accents tight and confident. A really good intermediate move is to apply groove only to hats and break tops, while keeping the kick and main snare more locked in place. That gives you swing and human movement, without making the whole drum section feel unstable. For groove pool settings, something in the 54 to 58% swing range can be enough if the pattern feels stiff. Use velocity variation to create life. Keep random values low unless the drums feel too robotic. Then make the bus react to that groove. If the break gets busier, you can automate a little more saturation. If a fill gets denser, Narrow the width slightly so the impact feels more focused. If the section gets sparse, increase transient emphasis so the drums stay present without needing extra hits. That's the key idea. The pattern and the bus should have a conversation. The drums shouldn't just loop, they should evolve. Now think like an arranger. In a 174 BPM track, your intro might be bars 1 to 16, with a filtered drum texture and lots of negative space. Bars 17 to 24 can open up the break and build energy. Bars 25 to 40 might be your full drop with punchy snare, locked groove, and full bus tone. Then bars 41 to 48 can bring in a little extra dirt or a width change for variation. Bars 49 to 56 can strip things back for a breakdown. Then the second drop can come back slightly harder or with a different bus feel. A simple arrangement trick is to lower the drum bus level by 1 to 3 dB in the intro, then gradually open the filter over the build. When the drop lands, restore the full band and add transient snap. In the fill bars, you can automate a short delay throw on the snare. In the breakdown, narrow the bus and soften the saturation. If you do this well, the track will feel arranged, not loop-based. Now let's add some controlled effects movement without cluttering the bus. Set up return tracks instead of stacking too much atmosphere directly on the drum bus. A short room reverb return works great for a little space. Use a short decay, a small room size, and filter out low end so it doesn't cloud the groove. An echo or delay throw return is great for snare fills and transition hits. And a parallel dirt return can add aggression underneath without destroying the dry drum punch. This is where automation on sends becomes really powerful. You can throw a snare into reverb for one hit, or give a final fill a little delay motion without washing out the whole drum bus. That keeps the main drums punchy, while still giving you those hype transition moments. Now we need to keep the low end clean. This is huge in DNB. A drum bus that sounds enormous in solo can easily fight the sub and bass line in context. So check the drums against the bass, not in isolation. Keep the kick focused. Remove sub rumble from the breaks if needed. Use utility to check mono. And avoid unnecessary stereo widening on kick and snare fundamentals. If the bus feels too wide, narrow it. If the snare body is crowding the bass area, try gentle cuts somewhere around 180 to 300 HE. If things get harsh, tame a little 4 to 8 KHC. The goal is not perfection in solo. The goal is separation in context. Here's a really effective dark DNB move. Automate a short narrow and dark moment before impact. Pull the width down and close the filter for a bar before the drop. Then let everything snap open on the downbeat. That contrast can make the drop feel way bigger without adding any extra layers. Another strong move is overdrive into release. Push saturation or drive for one bar, then pull it back just as the next phrase lands. That contrast makes the drums feel larger than constant heavy processing ever could. And remember, not every section needs the same energy. Maybe the first 8 bars are cleaner and more controlled. The next 8 bars get dirtier and more open. Then the variation adds extra harmonic grit and slightly more monofocus. That kind of progression makes the drums feel like they're telling a story. If you want to go deeper, you can even split the drum bus into two groups: core drums and tops or energy. Keep the kick, snare, and main break stable in the core group, and let hats, rides, percussion, and foley get more animated in the top group. That gives you a more solid foundation with more freedom for movement on top. And if you land on a really good automated section, resample it. Seriously, that's a very jungle-friendly workflow. Once the movement sounds right, bounce it, chop it, and turn it into new fills or transition stabs. So to wrap this up, the mindset is simple. Group your drums cleanly. Use stock Ableton devices to shape tone, glue, and grit. Automate the bus instead of leaving it static. Keep kick and snare centered and punchy. Use groove and ghost notes to create movement. And make section changes deliberate so the drums feel arranged, not just processed. If you do that, your jungle or drum and bass drums will feel more alive, more intentional, and much closer to a finished release-ready track. Now it's your turn. Build a 16-bar or 32-bar drum section. Automate the bus with purpose, and listen to how much more exciting the groove becomes when the drum bus actually performs with the song.